Mike Bisaglia here from SeavillePodcast.com. You are about to listen to Runcast, a weekly form of everything running, with your host, Mark Lorenzoni, a community running expert who has been directing hundreds of area for nonprofit foot races and coaching thousands of runners for the past 30 years.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Runcast. Appreciate you listening in. I really do. It's 24 days until the 10-miler. And even if you're not running the 10-miler, what that signals is really the start of the spring racing season. And if you're not into racing, it certainly signals a time to be maybe getting out a little bit more than you have during the winter. It's, I think, personally an exciting time. And it's also a somewhat dangerous time because of the transition of going from maybe a little less running or a little slower running for yourself personally into something farther or faster. So, you just have to, I use this term so often about managing your running and transitioning gently into your next phase. So if you've been running 10 miles a week during the winter and you want to get ready for the spring race season, you suddenly said, gee, I need to be doing 20 to 25 miles a week and I need to add speed, you better get there gradually. And one of the golden rules, and I just was going over this with someone the other day, is you really shouldn't be increasing mileage at the same time you're introducing speed, particularly if the speed is of any in length or consequence. So that's what the term base building is all about. Whether you're base building for a 5K race or whether you're base building for a marathon, there has to be a period of kind of ceasefire with the speed where all you're doing is building your arsenal.
Right.
You know, firing the arsenal, you're building it. So marathoners, this winter, I've worked really hard with my Boston group, the folks that are doing the Boston Marathon. There's about 35 of them. They work for a good solid 6 to 8 weeks on just gently getting their mileage up
right
to what should be the mileage they're going to average for the most part during the 10-week countdown, so that when I do introduce speed, I introduce it to a house that's settled. So
sure.
With, give an example, I'm going to get you up to 50 miles a week, which is a reasonable amount for a pretty competitive marathoner to be running, 50 to 55 miles a week. I'm going to get you to 55 before you start introducing the speed. And it seems to be a two-pronged success result from this is that the risk of injury drops.
Sure.
And the increase of, you know, the success rate increases quite a bit of your, you know, attaining your goals. So I'm big on that. So be careful. Be really careful with it. And by golly, you know, if you're going to introduce speed, know what you're doing. There's so much random stuff going on out there with folks and a lot of people with calf issues, hamstring issues, Achilles issues. Gee, I'm asking them, how did this start? When did this start? Well, anything different in your life? Well, I started doing some, you know, repeat 300s or 400s. And a lot of times folks are going at it a little, you know, too quickly, a little too aggressively. Speaking of the 10-miler, you can still sign up. There are plenty of spots available. It's also trackclub.org. You know, Mike Inge doing a great job in the waning weeks here, a little over 3 weeks to go till 10-miler time. Of course, that's March 31st. And this year we're introducing with Children, Youth, and Family Services, my good buddy Shannon Noe. She is going to have a couple of kids, different distances, but kids races on where? The new UVA track, which is very cool.
That's
31st.
Great.
So if you've got kids, ages 4 to, I think it's 4 to 11 or 4 to 12, Shannon and the folks at Children, Youth, and Family Services partnered up with the race this year to just about every race, it seems like this spring, either has a kids race affiliated with it or is kid-oriented. I think there's a dozen, 12 to 14 different kids races.
Wow.
Starting with, I guess we've got the McCormick Mile. MJK this Saturday, but I'll go over that in a second. But we've got so many kids races this spring. And I'll get to that in a sec here. But I want to talk about more current news. UVA is off to the NCAAs this weekend. That's out in Boise. A little altitude scenario. Shouldn't affect three of the four Virginia athletes that are going out because they are shot putters or triple jumpers. We've got Marcus Robinson and his female counterpart, Whitney Rose. They both qualified in the triple jump. Marcus, of course, we've talked about him all winter. He's number one in the United States, has a school record, has the ACC record, goes on and on. And it should go on and on because the guy can jump like you wouldn't believe. he's pegged to win the national championship. Let's hope that happens. Nick Boehner, the freshman shot putter, he made it. And then the lone runner is Morgan Gay. She is fourth-ranked, fifth-ranked in the United States in the mile right now. She'll run the mile out there. So we wish them all the best. On the same weekend will be the high school national championships. It seems like the high school season just keeps on going. And because of the talent pool of our locals, we have quite a few folks going up to the Armory in New York to try and nail down some even faster times and some more to build a resume even more. So we wish them all the best. Martha Jefferson 8K, next up in the blocks. That's this Saturday. Sign-ups are still available. Mike, you've done it before. We talked about it. It's a nice little PSAT for the 10-miler. 10-miler, the big focus event of the spring, our oldest running race, our oldest foot race in the area, and our most prestigious. And it's really the groundbreaker. It's the first race with the streets closed. I could go on and on. Really fantastic event, Charlottesville Track Club event. And the MJK is just a great tune-up. 3 weeks out. You run it, and, you know, it's 7:50 pace. Then you say, okay, what can I run the 10-miler in from there? I can probably run about 8:15 to 8:20 pace for the 10-miler. And it gives you a gauge. Somebody said to me yesterday, I don't understand what this woman came in new to running. And so it was very good questions. And she goes, I'm all confused about a bunch of things. What's this game plan approach to the 10-miler? I thought, God, I forget sometimes that even though I'm trying to make it pretty clear and explicit, sometimes things aren't clear. So game plan approach. She goes, I don't even understand what that means. So I started talking about the MJK. So she goes, well, I got this pace chart email to me, and it says if I run the AK here, but there's a column over here, 10 miles. So I had to explain to her that if you run, she goes, they don't seem to be the same pace. I said, hello, that's exactly what the pace. It said, let's go to the top of the chart here. What does it say? Pace predictor. Pace predictor. So you run a 5K at a certain pace, you can run 8K at a certain pace. And obviously it gets slower. It gets slower, people. You do not run a longer 10K at the same pace, 5K. Something's astray if that's the situation. You certainly don't run a 10-miler the same pace you would as a 5K or 8K. So good questions. A game day plan really means laying out for the – this is particularly important with distance events like the 10-miler – laying out your warm-up game plan. So if you have your longest run is 10 miles, you have no business warming up really more than quarter to half a mile because you don't want to add anything to the distance of the race. But if you've been someone like Cynthia and her buddies, they've been doing 15 and 16 mile runs. They can warm up for a couple of miles and get on the starting line sweating a little bit and then make that first mile a little bit faster than you would be if you weren't able to warm up. You haven't been able to warm up. You get on the starting line. You throw that first mile out as a warm up. In fact, you throw out the first 2 miles as a warm up. Regardless, even if you're the fastest kid in the block there, you still want to make that first mile a little slower than your targeted pace. And so you have a game plan. Let's say the game plan says you can run the 10-miler at 8 minutes and 45 seconds a mile. That's what your potential is. You don't run the first mile 8:45, particularly since the first mile is one of the hardest miles of the entire race. What? I've run that race before, Mark. That feels like an easy mile. Yeah, that's because you're rested and the adrenaline's flowing. You got people all around you. You don't even feel like you're moving. It feels so effortless.
Yeah.
Well, trust me, from that bottom of the hill right below JBJ there, in between JBJ and U-Haul, when you start down there in the cavern, the abyss, and you work your way up slowly up past University Hall, past the new track, and up over the Morgan Harrington Bridge, and you work your way down Alderman, all that roller coaster, and you're climbing a good part of that. You run that at pace or faster, your perception of effort, maybe it feels easy, but you have now just drained beyond the amount of gas you should for that first mile. You suffer down the road.
I'll tell you, what's helped me a lot actually is that warm up. I guess for me, it would be about a half mile, quarter to half mile, because the first mile is always just the hard. I find it a lot of ways to be the hardest. You're just, and sometimes once you hit that like 3 mile mark, you get into your groove and you start to feel warm. You start to feel better. And then it's more, not a cruise control, but it just clicks where you're moving and not that first mile. You're kind of just,
I think someone who doesn't warm up has a little bit of an advantage because they get on the starting line cold and stale and rusty feeling and want to get the kinks out. And so they allow that first mile to do. If you get on the starting line ready to shoot out of the blocks, you're all warmed up. It can be a little more of a challenge.
Right.
We had a great experience this morning on the track. Several of our folks were doing a 5K. It was kind of a cut tempo progression, kind of cut down push/time trial.
Okay.
It's the politically correct kind of, is speaking out of all sides of my mouth, but essentially what I'm trying to remind folks is that in the middle of the week, when you've been training hard, you're not going to have a peak performance for a race. So I don't want to necessarily call it a time trial, but
right.
I said to them, see how close you can come to your 5K time you normally run by running this a little bit, you know, against the conventional wisdom of you get on the starting line of a race and you're going hard for 5K. I said, I want you to throw out the first lap, which is a quarter. So they did a half a mile on the track, then half a mile off, half a mile on, half a mile off. That's 2 miles. And then they did this kind of mile loop off the track and back again. Sure enough, every one of them ran that first quarter nice and slow. The first half mile was the slowest half mile of the day. They came really close to PRing, all of them, for 5K. And wow. They were like stunned, even though it wasn't, they went out slow. I said, see, you got the rewards. Your body responded. You were in so much control over the end that you could drop the hammer down almost beyond what you think you're capable of doing. So their last half mile was so much faster than their targeted pace. So. And they had a comfortable experience. It was great. We've got really a lot of other events on deck here, including marathon workshop that we're hosting. We talked about this. It's on the 18th. The spaces are filling quickly. The reservations are required. Either email alec@ragamountainrunning.com, alec@ragamountainrunning.com, or call us. It's free. It's just a donation, a monetary donation you would make to the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank, who is struggling right now financially, and they help a lot of our neighbors in need, so really a good cause. We've got some great speakers lined up for this. If you at all are thinking about a half marathon or a marathon, don't, and you've got that Sunday afternoon available, don't miss this. We've got Art Weltman, my good buddy, head of the exercise phys department. He's going to talk about what makes the engine run for a long-distance runner and what makes the engine sputter. We got a couple of great nutritionists. We got Kendra and Melissa. Melissa's been to Rittenhouse has been to 3 Olympic trials in the marathon. She's a dietitian, nutritionist. They're going to talk about fueling your body in training, fueling your body in the days before the race, and then what goes on during the race, how you should manage your energy replacement, your carb intake, and all of your calorie intake, during the actual marathon itself. So great. We're going to have Dr. Wilder's going to speak about how to prevent running injuries leading up to a marathon, how to prevent them.
Hmm.
Not necessarily how to take care of them. How about the notion of how to prevent them? So that's a good one. And then we're going to have Erica Perkins and Heidi Johnson going to talk about what is the appropriate cross training for a long distance runner. What's going to complement their running, not detract from it, deter it. So tremendous group of speakers. And again, that's the 18th of March. Do not miss. Spread the word. But get to us quick. On the 22nd, we're hosting John Casey, National Book Award winner. We host an author every year for the Virginia Festival of the Book. We're really excited, along with Nancy Damon. We're bringing in John Casey. He's local. It's the first time we've ever had a local author. And he's written this book called Room for Improvement. And it's got all these tales. He's probably, I would bet John is pushing 70. I'll have to get that straight as I introduce him since I'm hosting him. But I guess he's between 65 and 70. And he's in incredibly great shape. He's always taking good care of his body. The book is all about these different tales. Outward Bound trip he took 1 year, road race, a cross-country ski adventure he took, all about pushing your body as you get older. And it's called Room for Improvement. So that's free. It's on the 22nd. Then on the 24th, we've got a doubleheader. We've got the McCormick A Mile in the Morning. Dunkin' Donuts is sponsoring that. It's a fast 1 mile road race, all different age groups. You can go to our website to get more information on that. We got kids races, masters races, and open races. We're really excited. And then that afternoon, Brian Fetzer will be hosting the Swashbuckle Meet. They're gonna cut the ribbon, basically, and open up the UVA track to the public for spectating. Mm. But at 4:30 in the afternoon or thereabouts, they're going to feature the fastest kid in the Ville. We've talked about it. They've narrowed it down. It looks like it's going to be fastest kindergarten boy and girl, fastest first grader, all the way through fastest fifth grader. So they're going to keep it somewhat limited because of time. And they're going to their signups will be available soon for that. It's going to fill up quickly because they're only going to allow 2 heats per grade.
Okay.
And a heat is 8 kids. So they're only going to allow 16 kids, which I say only. That sounds like I'm being negative about it. But it's not a ton of kids, so you want to get on that. If you know a PE teacher, you know a family with kids, you have a kid of your own, and they've got some fast twitch ability, it's a 50-meter race. So you can run. If you've got a kid who likes longer distance, they can run the mile in the morning. A kid that likes fastest movement. You go fastest kid in the Ville. And there'll be shirts awarded to the fastest boy, fastest girl in each age group that say fastest kid in the Ville. Little bragging rights there, which is pretty cool. On the 31st, of course, is the 10-miler, and we just roll from there every single weekend, pretty much up until Father's Day. Father's Day, all the way mid-June, there's an event. And, of course, Father's Day men's 4-miler culminates. Mike, it'd be awesome. Yeah. I think you had a conflict of some
sort. I was somewhere for baseball, but I couldn't tell you now.
But this year, I thought I was trying to peg to get you and your dad
to
do this. I think it'd be a really cool thing, particularly.
I'd love it.
You know, I hate to stereotype it. Come on, guys. We're pretty easy to figure out, most of us. A finish line on the 50-yard line of Scott Stadium with the Jumbotron on Father's Day with your dad or with a brother or grandpa, whatever. Doesn't get too much better
than that. That's pretty
cool. Early in the day, you go out for a breakfast, brunch afterwards somewhere. I mean, come on. Yeah. It's really cool and all for a great course, prostate cancer. And we kicked that training program off, by the way, on April 14th, to, you know, getting a little ahead of the game here. So
right. We need to be throwing footballs out to people as they come running in.
Somebody suggested that. It'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
You could have a stack of footballs and we just have people running them, you know, pitching to people, they carry them across the finish line. That's not a bad thought. And then we'd have to recycle the footballs back because, you know, 500 guys, we're not going to have 500 footballs, but maybe Mike London be willing to, you know, loan us some for the day.
Sort of rotate them back.
And I kind of like that idea. So people could say, no, they don't want them. You know,
people doing the Heisman.
He would say, no, I don't want it. I'll run in without the ball. But others say, sure. Be fun.
Yeah.
Probably some liability to have somebody running and tripping
trips
and falling.
But,
you know, what are you falling on? It's grass.
Yeah.
Pretty harmless.
That'd be funny.
I want to give some quick race tips. And we're really, this time of year, I would highly recommend following these tips if you want to have a positive experience. I always start with the chronological order. Get some sleep on Thursday night. Most races are on Saturday. Thursday night's the key night. Friday's kind of a wash. You're nervous. You're anxious, and you get kind of broken sleep. That's okay. But try and, you know, tank some good hours on the Thursday night,
smart.
So 48 hours out. Make sure you're hydrating a little bit more than normal. Don't go nuts, but on the Friday before, particularly electrolytes at noon in the water, it's like an Alka-Seltzer you put in water. It's got all kinds of good electrolytes. That's a great one. Dress appropriately on race morning. You've heard me talk about this before. This time of year, it's kind of iffy. Gee, it's 30 at the gun, but it's during the 10 miles, but it's supposed to get up to 55. I would dress for the warmer end of things, meaning dress down, you know, strip down a little
bit. Yeah, it's been interesting for me because I've been doing a lot of long runs in the last, I guess, month and a half, 2 months. And I have seen every single weather scenario that you could have. So I've almost been like taking notes. All right, when it's 50, this is what I like. When it's 31, this is what I like. Yeah. Because this weather has been so inconsistent. I think I kind of know what I should wear based on the last 2 months. It's kind of weird.
Good. You're becoming an experienced runner.
Yeah, and that's been nice.
That's a fun thing to be in control. You get your wardrobe built up enough that you can go from layers of clothing with a parka and your tights and your hat on all the way down to shorts and a singlet or, you know, a tank top or a short sleeve shirt. You can go the whole gamut. It's great. And it has been that kind of winter. Warm up properly, the appropriate amount. We just talked about that with the 10-miler. So obviously for, you know, if your distance of the race is as long as you've ever run, you don't warm up at all. If it's a 5K and you've been used to running 8 miles and for your long run, you can warm up some. Do some dynamic stretching. We've talked about that before, skipping, hopping, running backwards, a little side-to-side, jumping jack type stuff. Get yourself warmed up without touching your body. That static stretching tends to be bad for you. Here's a big one, maybe the biggest one as far as helping you have a positive experience, line up in the appropriate zip code. Line up properly. Line up with your peeps. You know, you're a 9-minute pace racer. You have no business lining up on the starting line. I don't care how small the race is. You do not want, it's a small race. I'm okay up front. These are kind of recreational crowd here today. No, there's always lurking up front the fast people, rightfully so. Is this demeaning? I don't think so. It's called being realistic and being sensible. Get yourself lined up appropriately. It'll be so much better experience. Make the first half mile the slowest of the day. Your first mile the slowest of the day. That's the longer the race, the more important that becomes. Then perception of effort. Let's take the guy shooting for 10 minutes per mile, 10 minutes on the flat, 10:15 to 10:20, 10:25 on the uphills, and then 940, 945 on the downhills. You swing, you sway based on the terrain.
Right.
So perception of effort, you run how you feel. You don't try and run the pace. You run, geez, this is a long uphill. I better slow it up. Don't care about the pace. You'll make it up. So some quick race tips there. And then I kind of just wanted to touch a little bit about you, Mike, because we've been talking all along about you getting ready to do a marathon this spring. And I think you've run into, I was talking to your fiancé about it, how, you know, you're, as a media person, you could be a good spokesperson for the realities of training for a marathon. One of the things that you and I talked about last fall when you started this adventure, your long run at that point was maybe 5 or 6 miles, 7 miles. You'd run the 10-miler in the spring.
Yep.
And you kind of conked off your mileage a little bit through the with baseball season and, you know, summer stuff. And you
casual,
keep the engine percolating, but certainly not any near double figures for your long run.
Right.
And one of the things we talked about was your busy spring, and we were going to try and craft a marathon date and run you out on the Sugar Hollow, the Three Bridges course, with some friends and make it, you know, be a fundraiser, just a solo marathon run. And you ran into the classic thing that so many people run into. You've been great with your training. You've got your mileage up. You've been diligent, and you got up to 15.
Mm-hmm.
And tell folks what happened.
Yeah, I ran out of time. I guess.
Literally. I mean, you just ran out of time. And tell them what that means, run out of time.
And I'll start with saying my body feels great. I don't feel no aches and pains, normal feelings after longer runs, like fantastic. I feel good. And I fell into the trap of, well, all right, let me try to run longer runs in the middle of the week because I work sports. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 7 hours is devoted to sports because you have to get to a game early. You leave a little later. It's not like just going to a ball game with your buddies and it's 1:30 to 4 and you're done. You have to get there at 11:30. You're done at 6. So trying to find a time to do those longer runs was the longer the run got, the more difficult because then the more time consuming.
And tell folks your pace because you're kind of the you're somewhere on the faster side of the average American marathon is what you're shooting for. You're shooting for.
We were 4 hours.
4 hours, which is around 9 minute pace.
I ran the 10 miler in 89 minutes.
Yeah.
And that was, I guess, almost a year ago now. And for me, because I had those, I have mornings where I do sports here at the radio station at WINA. And I was doing a lot of those longer runs when I had some time after those morning sports. But what I found was I started to lose sleep. Because I had to do runs on those days. That was the only time I could do it. But I was sacrificing literally naps that I need to then be okay those monster weekends. And it just
And those late nights. I mean, you're back here at the studio for those 9 o'clock basketball games.
So you have a morning sports.
What time do you get home from a 9 o'clock basketball game from your gig here? 11:30, 12?
Between 12 and 1, depending on the wrap-up. So it would be a run between I would basically say, okay, I have between 1 and 5 to get a run in. But I was finding by not sleeping a little more than I needed to, it was just where it was hard.
You ran into the reality of your schedule. And I've always said this to people. You try and fit your running into your lifestyle, not your lifestyle into your running. If you start to make that compromise, I'm now trying to fit your lifestyle into your running, you start to affect your job.
Yep.
You start to affect your relationships. And ultimately, you start to affect how you feel about the running. You start to resent it, start to hate it. And so often, as a coach, I mean, one of my biggest roles as a coach is to advise my athletes to the realistic end of things and to try and make things work for them. And when I'm not making it work for them, I have to advise them to pull a plug. Oh, Mark, you're negative. Oh, you don't believe in me. No. I'm telling you right now, at this given time in your life, this is not a good match. Mike, let's go for the 10-miler. Mike, let's go for 10Ks right now. Maybe let's go for a half marathon. You're ready beyond it in your training.
Right.
But in 2012, Mike Buseglia's life, and you know, tell him the other thing that's going on in your life. You're getting married.
I'm getting married in July.
And I talked to your fiance the other day. It was interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I got a little, you know, honest, you know, candid reaction to all this from her. She's totally supportive. But she said, I didn't know how he was going to do all of this because we have a wedding on top of everything else.
Right.
You got a wedding to plan.
No.
And
it's like
wedding's
a part-time
in June.
Job in a sense.
And you want to enjoy that. You don't want to have yourself or anyone else resenting. She wasn't resenting at all, but she was saying...
Hours.
And she wasn't saying, I told you so. It was just,
I
didn't know how he was going to do this. And I looked at her and said,
you know, it's funny.
Kind of same thing.
Her and I have talked about it because she's a great runner herself. And she actually got me more involved in the running community actually before I even had the opportunity to meet you, Mark.
So she's your biggest fan.
When we started dating, she'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to this run on Saturday. I'm doing that run on Saturday. So I got to know a little bit from her. And I'll say this. What I love about when we would do these early races with her was she would sit back and start running. And then you would see her as the race went on, passing all like these guys that were zipping by her in the beginning, and she's just chugging along.
She was practicing negative splits.
Yeah,
she bought that early on. That bought into that whole notion of, you know, being patient, tortoise in the hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
very, very
That's
smart.
That's good. I mean, you're absolutely normal kind of scenario with this, Mike. And I, when you came to me, it was cool because you knew this was serious. The training for it. And you knew coach-athlete relationship that I got to tell coach.
Oh, yeah.
It's awkward because a couple of things going through your head. You don't want to sound like you're weaning out.
Right.
You don't want to let me down. You feel like you're letting yourself down. You feel like we had a goal. There's all these kind of negatives. But the most positive thing is you're being honest and realistic.
Sure.
And you feel comfortable communicating that, not only with me, but with yourself, but with your coach or whoever. I mean,
right.
It doesn't have to be coach. It can be your spouse. It can be your training partner. But you have to be realistic. I don't know of anyone personally that I'm around on a regular basis in my running world that's a true weenie. Everybody that's getting it, I tell people this every week to get out of bed at 4:30 to meet the track 5:30, 22 degrees to run these, you know, crack the whip type workouts. You're not a weenie. You're just being realistic.
Yeah.
And here's the biggest thing of all. You run fatigued. You start to push it.
Right.
You're going to get injured. And when you're injured, now you're really bumming because you can't run at all.
So,
anyway. I know these are redundant themes, but you know they're worth repeating. So, do appreciate everyone listening in. We're available at I'm available at 293-3367 or stop by if you ever need any advice with your running. You're interested in getting some speed in. If you're already currently training, you want to get a little faster. We're still meeting over at Charlottesville High School track Wednesday mornings at 5:30. Contact me first so I can get you on the email list. And it's something I don't talk about on the show very often, but more and more people have been asking for help and doing a lot of online stuff and people bringing these online programs behind. Gee, I don't understand. Can you help me out? I say, why don't you just join in with our group?
Right.
To train with a bunch of local people. I was
watching
one group this morning. They were all complete strangers. There's like eight of them in this one zip code. And Mike, it was like for a coach, they were cooling down and they were joking. Some of them were tapping each other.
Right.
And I thought, 2 months ago, these guys didn't know each other.
Right.
Now,
yeah,
they're sharing a challenge together, 5:30 every Wednesday in the cold, beating the times that Mark has laid out for them. It doesn't get much better than that. And you can tell they're getting
really
fitter.
Great.
One guy noticed today, he walked running by me. He lost quite a bit
That's
of
awesome.
Weight over the last 2.5
That's
months.
Beautiful.
I'm like, wow.
That's great.
All right, gabbed enough. Talk to you next week.
This week's edition of RunCast was brought to you by the Ragged Mountain Running Shop, Central Virginia's community running and walking family partner since 1982. Conveniently located on the historic UVA corner with free parking at their doorstop. Visit them online at RaggedMountainRunning.com or make sure you friend them on Facebook, Ragged Mountain Running Shop.